The Assembly will hear an address by His Excellency Mahinda Rajapaksa, President of the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka. I request protocol to escort His Excellency. On behalf of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Excellency Mahinda Rajapaksa, President of the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka, and to invite him to address the Assembly.
Mr. President, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I congratulate Your Excellency Sam Kweteta on being elected as the President of the 69th session of the United Nations General Assembly. We wish you success and assure you of our fullest cooperation. The theme for this session, delivering on implementing a transformative post 2015 development agenda, is timely. The world has undergone many changes since the UN was created and since the year 2000. Much progress has been made towards achieving the Millennium Development Goals. However, there are multiple challenges that still remain to be addressed. The moral and practical importance of creating an equitable world and a sustainable planet for this purpose cannot be ignored. Mr. President, the Commonwealth, of which Sri Lanka is the current chair in office, accounts for over one quarter of the UN membership. In November 2013, the Commonwealth heads of government agreed in Colombo to contribute to the process of evolving the new post-2015 global development agenda. Their windows, the central focus on the eradication of extreme poverty and reaffirmed commitment to sustainable development. The perspective on the post-2015 development agenda is based on shared values and principles contained in the Commonwealth Charter and individual experiences. The Commonwealth leaders encourage others to approach the forthcoming intergovernmental negotiations in a collaborative spirit to achieve a balanced post-2015 development agenda. Mr. President, reducing inequality within and among countries is one of the most transformative goals that have been proposed by the Working Group on Sustainable Development Goals. We hope that this goal will serve to enhance the voice and representation of developing countries in decision making. The post-2015 agenda must focus on implementation. Achieving the SDGs would be impossible without the political will and dedication of all countries. It must be ensured the failure of the developed countries to fulfill Millennium Goal 8 that call for a global partnership for development is not repeated. In determining goals, countries must not be deprived of policy space. to set their own domestic priorities instead of asking countries to prioritize domestic spending. There should be focus on a strengthened partnership between developed and developing countries backed by sincere commitment. This is essential for countries in the South to access financial resources and technology that are essential for capacity building. It is vital that we also address structural obstacles and political barriers that prevented the realization of the MDGs, such as unfair trade and investment rules. Creating a supportive international economic environment, enhance investment flows, including from multilateral development banks, and an open multilateral trading regime are important. The role of the UN in advancing international peace, security, and prosperity is crucial in the contemporary world. However, in order to gain the confidence and goodwill of the international community as a whole, one of the essential requirements is consistency of standards across the board, without any perceptions of selectivity or discrimination. It is in this context that the current functioning of the system needs examination in order to enhance its credibility. Human rights are used as a tool to implement motivated agendas. With no understanding or appreciation of the complexity of issues in the countries concerned, human rights should be recognized by all as a moral and ethical concept rather than a political tool. External intervention without adequate consideration of the structures in a society and cultural traditions of the countries where such intervention take place inevitably results in destabilization, which is very much in evidence today in most part of the world. Mr. President, whose conflict Sri Lanka has also become an unfortunate victim of ill-conceived agendas of some in the Human Rights Council, who pays scant regard to the substantial progress achieved by Sri Lanka in reconstruction, rehabilitation, and reconciliation within a short span of 5 years. There is an obvious lack of balance and proportion in the manner in which my country is being targeted today, disregarding these significant achievements. This is in sharp contrast with the approach to deeply disturbing situations involving humanitarian emergencies elsewhere. Mr. President, for multilateralism to remain relevant and effective, reform of institutions concerned is essential. To be successful, this process must involve depoliticization of the UN systems and mechanisms, and they must stop being hostage to different forms of funding. UN bodies must find ways to work with governments through dialogue, greater understanding of situations, and cooperation, including assistance to strengthen national institutions. This approach, instead of strong arm tactics, must form the heart of multilateral diplomacy in the search for sustainable solutions to global challenges. Mr. President, the 70th year of the UN in 2015 also marks the 10th anniversary of the 2005 World Summit. We are global leaders agreed to support early reform of the Security Council. Concrete results in this regard should be achieved next year, at least. Mr. President, climate change is one of the defining challenges of our times. A robust global response needs to be arrived at 2015. On this basis of equity and the principles of common but differentiated responsibilities. Mr. President, the increase of violence in the Middle East is deeply distressing. I reiterate, Sri Lanka support for the early realization of a sovereign, independent, viable, and united state of Palestine existing within secure and recognized borders, side by side, and at peace with Israel. We look forward to welcoming Palestine as a full member of the UN at the earliest. The international community must assist Palestine to rebuild the country. Sri Lanka firmly believes in the need for solidarity between Asia and Africa, admiring the efforts of the people of Africa to achieve socio-economic development. Sri Lanka has begun a process of reaching out to countries in Africa for exchange of knowledge and expertise in areas of importance. The international community must strongly support the early eradication of deadly diseases in Africa. Mr. President, Sri Lanka remains committed to supporting all multilateral efforts to counter terrorism, deriving from extreme ideologies impacting on people across national frontiers. Terrorism continues to be a grave threat to security and stability of nations across the globe. Having suffered at the hands of terrorism, Sri Lanka knows well its drastic impact on societies, communities, and institutions founded on democratic traditions and ideals. The international community must strengthen multilateral action on terrorism, including the early finalization and adoption of the UN Comprehensive Convention on International Terrorism. Sri Lanka is also committed to support all multilateral efforts to counter terrorism financing, piracy, and all forms of international organized crimes. We wish to recall our appeal to the international community not to support terrorist groups in any way, either direct or indirect. Sri Lanka expressed its concern regarding bombings that kill innocent civilians and even unborn children in many situations across the world. Mr. President, Sri Lanka expressed deep concern regarding unilateral economic measures against developing countries and is a consistent supporter of the call of the UN General Assembly for an end to unjust economic, commercial, and financial embargo against Cuba. Unilateral sanctions of this nature, which impact a country's innocent population, are unethical. Mr. President, despite being affected by terrorism, Sri Lanka has achieved most MDGs. Sri Lanka has succeeded in being ranked ahead of all South Asian countries in the 2013 Human Development Index through the adoption of the National Development Strategy, the Mahinda Chintana Vision for the Future. The government of Sri Lanka embarked on an inclusive and rural-centric development program. This involved bold policy decisions connected with macroeconomic management, revitalization of agriculture, infrastructure development, including road and expressways, ports and airports, irrigation and water distributions, a strong telecommunication network, and well-distributed urban and township development, resulting in 7.8% GDP growth this year and per capita income of US dollars 3,800 in 2030. It is also a matter of deep satisfaction to recognize that the economic and political empowerment of the people of the North, supported by massive investment in infrastructure and livelihoods, have also contributed to this growth. Sri Lanka's IT literacy grew steadily from a mere 3% in 2005 to almost 50% in 2014. Sri Lanka's Nanasala program, e-center program, was awarded the prestigious Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation Award as the best rural IT access program in the world. With the end of terrorism in May 2009, in keeping with my responsibilities to my people, large-scale post-conflict reconstruction, rehabilitation, and resettlement initiatives were implemented in the North in a relatively short period of 4 years. Most importantly, democratic structures in the North have been re-established. Elections were held in the Northern Provincial Council in September 2013 after a lapse of 28 years upholding the democratic traditions in Sri Lanka, which has been consistently protected since 1931, the year we attained universal franchise. I recall in this context the visit of the UN Secretary General of Sri Lanka to Sri Lanka just a week after the conclusion of the conflict, when a new era of peace and had drawn. This was a manifestation of the close cooperation between the country, my country, and the UN, and our commitment to work together in the future. Mr. President, we continue on a deeply satisfying and a transformative journey in the interest of all the people of Sri Lanka in carrying out this task. We work in accordance with our traditional foreign policy of friendship towards all and enmity towards none. We hope that the international community too will reciprocate and assist Sri Lanka in a domestic process of reconciliation and economic development without exerting undue pressure on us. We have gained inspiration from the words of Gautama the Buddha, who said that the purpose of all human endeavor must be construct order out of chaos and the harmony out of strife. True to these words of wisdom, the government of Sri Lanka remains committed to its objective of pursuing the process of reconciliation and nation building and untended by ill-motivated criticism. Thank you. May the Triple Gem bless you all. Thirvan Salma.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank the President of the Democratic Socialist Republic of Sri Lanka for the statement just made. May I request representatives to remain seated while we greet the President.